I want to welcome all of our visitors, all of our guests, residents, city staff. Thank you all so much for being here. This is the Woodway City Council meeting for August 14th. The time is now 5:33, and I'll open the meeting at this time. Our first item on the agenda is our invocation, and this afternoon we have the privilege of having Pastor Steve from the First United Methodist Church of Woodway here to pray for us. So, Pastor Steve, welcome, to the podium. Thank you for praying for us this afternoon.
I assume this applies to me too?
Yes. Yes, absolutely.
It's not usually a problem.
Keep those prayers short.
Okay. Got it.
Rain prayers is good too right now.
If I pray at dinner time, it's short because I start to salivate, you know? So.
Thank you for being here, sir.
Please pray with me. God, we are grateful for your goodness, your mercy, your faithfulness, and especially maybe your patience. We are all here agreed as to seeking the common good. And we know that that's not always easy to get to. So we ask your blessing tonight on our public servants, whose desire and duty it is to help the rest of us navigate that. So God, be here, fully present. And help us all to be aware of that, to do what needs to be done, to say what needs to be said, to left unsaid what doesn't need to be said, and to give you glory and honor for all the ways that you work through us and in spite of us. I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. Amen. Amen. Thank you, Pastor Steve, and thank you to First Methodist Church of Woodway for being great partners. All right, our second item on the agenda is our Pledge of Allegiance. If you're able, please rise as we give pledge to our flag.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Thank you. Item number three on our agenda this evening is discussion and consider action to renew participation in the Waco-McLennan County Public Health District for the term running October 1st, 2023 through September 30th, 2028, and authorizing the mayor to execute all documents in connection therewith. Motion to discuss, please.
I'll make a motion to discuss.
Second.
Moved and seconded. Thank you. Mr. City Manager, your comments on number three, please.
We have Ms. Horn here with another presentation and ready to answer any other questions that you have. Ms. Horn, if you'll come up here, we have your slides that you sent also. Thank you for coming tonight.
Thank y'all for having me back. It's good to see you all once again. We're becoming fast friends. So good evening and thank you, Mayor and council members, for one more opportunity to share with you all just a little bit more information about what we do at the Health District. In addition to the funding request this evening, I want to share with you all some information about the 10 essential public health services and functions, and those services that are mandated by the Texas Health and Safety Code, and discuss why opting for a five-year interlocal agreement is really the best option as we move forward with the funding model of the health district. Also, I'll review the total sources of funding again and answer any additional or new questions you all may have. So the CDC released the 10 essential public health functions back in 1994. So the reason why they came up with these 10 things is to try to standardize public health work across the country and make sure that certain things were being done in every local jurisdiction. So the way Texas handles local public health, it's not necessarily standardized. It happens differently in every community, but what makes our health district really unique is that we have a relatively robust health district that's able to take care of these public health services in a way that is in comprehensive and encompasses the whole community. In 2020, the standards were updated, and the model of the public health services also now includes equity. And it's not having an equity button or another addition. It's actually using an equity lens to look at all the work that we do. So even this funding model is really looked at from an equitable approach, looking at what each community actually can contribute based on their population base versus what the services are that we actually provide. We'll go ahead to the next slide. Like I mentioned, the Texas Health and Safety Code is what is the law that mandates the work that we do in local public health. And there's a few things that we do regularly just because we have to do it. And regardless, we are mandated to do this work. And then there are things that we do that just make our local public health work a lot more fun and a lot more pleasurable to the community. And it really is what can really change our health outcomes of the community. So a few examples of work that's mandated includes like the epidemiology, the chronic disease and the infectious disease work, as well as our environmental health services that we talked about in the last time I was here. And then we can go to the next slide, Donna. And then some of the services that we provide are covered by grant funds, but it's really important to understand that the grant funds do not encompass all the work that we need to do. And on top of all of that, the grant funds have either remained stagnant or decreased over the last 10 years. Even coming out of the last legislative session where we anticipated public health getting a really generous increase, we actually lost some funding in some of our core programs. So our general revenue funds, like the money that you all contribute, we'll have to kind of wrap those services around to make sure we can make ourselves whole. Go ahead to the next slide, Donna. So why a 5-year interlocal agreement? To start, it's just a lot easier for me, and I won't be up here begging y'all every year if y'all number one to start. But also, it's just easier for all of us to come to one conclusion about, you know, all of us, the health district funded cities, to come to a conclusion about what we'll contribute on an annual basis for 5 years at a time. This results in about 17% of the total budget for the health district. So I think the next slide is actually going to show you our funding model in the pie chart, but you can see that still, the majority of our funding is coming from the city of Waco with an over $3 million contribution annually. Before we came up with this amount that we're asking for, we had a committee consisting of 5 health board advisory members that met about 6 times over the course of a year to discuss the best path forward for our health district. So we talked about having a 10-cent increase, a 20-cent increase, and a 30-cent increase. We settled on the 30-cent increase because we had to look at the cost of expenses and just how things had shot up over the last 3 years. We were having a hard time recruiting staff. We were having a hard time keeping staff. And even the cost of some of our most basic supplies, syringes, band-aids, things that we would buy on a regular basis, all of a sudden increased because, you know, supply and demand. It's basic economics. So these are projected expenses and that we use to determine our 5-year model. And I believe that it's about a 57% increase over the 5 years, if you go to the next slide. So as you can see, the member city contributions are only 5%, with the county giving 12%, the city of Waco still wrapping up the big bulk of that, and our revenue for services being 27%. We're always looking for ways to increase revenue, but in local public health, you just don't generate a lot of revenue. And I want to make sure I take a moment to talk to y'all a little bit about something that we've had going on last week in local public health. If you go to the next slide. This is just going to show kind of what you all's contribution will be over the next 5 years. Still looking at that total number of $44,569, which is still significantly less than the annual amount of a sanitarian, a registered sanitarian. And over the last week, we have spent an enormous amount of resources and staff time and money responding to a local jurisdiction outbreak of E. coli here in the county. It has, whenever we add it all up, I'll be happy to share with you all the total amount, but it has been expensive. It's included time from our local health authority, who's a physician, myself, our assistant director, our senior our environmental health division manager, a health inspector, our senior epidemiologist, our infectious disease epidemiologist, our preparedness coordinator, our communications and marketing person. So all this time over the last week and a half to respond to one outbreak that includes about 76 cases, five that are lab confirmed, and this one jurisdiction does not contribute enough to cover the cost of at least one of those people whose positions I just called. So the return on investment for local public health is there. It may seem like a big commitment, but on the back end, it's like an insurance policy. If you don't have local public health, what you put yourself at risk for is having an environmental health outbreak or some other kind of disease outbreak that will cost you a lot of money on the back end. Really, those are the only prepared slides I have, but I'm open to answer any additional questions you all may have about what we do at the health district, and I thank y'all for y'all's time.
Ms. Horn, thank you. Thank you for the presentation. Thank you for the information. Council, while Ms. Horn is here, are there any questions that you'd like to ask her at this time?
Yes, you said 5 years the best option. Is there another option?
No, not at this moment, there is not, because it's an interlocal agreement, so it's...
Okay, so it's not the best option. It's the only option.
It's the only option at this point.
Okay, so I just want to clarify that.
I'll ask your city attorney, can you clarify exactly how the interlocal agreements work? Are you familiar with that concept?
Sure. I think there are 11, I remember.
I think there's 17, actually.
17 now.
Yeah.
Who are participating in the public health district, and this is a coordinated effort, again, this board meets, to standardize what services are provided throughout the county. And if we were to change on our end what Woodway does, that would, of course, affect the costs and anticipated consequences for all of those other jurisdictions. And so, but we are just one party to a multi-party agreement. And of course, we can decide, the council can decide what the city of Woodway's position is going to be, but it's going to affect all of our counties.
You answered one of my questions, how many cities are in the program. How many cities have not signed yet?
We only have typically three that don't fund, and they're very, very small cities. If you go back, I don't know if that slide is actually on there, the one with the big grid, I think that was in the last presentation. I think it's like Hallsburg and some of the very small.
Okay, so really it's 14 that signs every year or every 5 years. Out of those 14, we haven't yet. Is there anybody else that has not?
Our commitments are coming in. We expect to get everybody's signed contract by the end of September. That's just how it works.
So how many have signed so far?
I'm sorry. Can't tell you right off the top of my head.
Okay. What was the increase for the last 5 years?
The last 5 years?
Yes. We know it's 57 for this 5 years, but...
Before that, I believe it was a 25-cent increase over the 3 to 5 year period.
Okay.
Is that 25 cents per year?
25%.
Per resident per year. No, 25 cents per resident per year. Yes, sir.
Okay.
So as you can see right now in the current year, it's $3. And last year it was $2.75, I believe. And the year before that, $2.50, $2.25. So over the 5 years.
So you had about a 50% increase, because 5 years ago it would have been about $1.50 per resident. Is that correct?
Yes, sir.
Okay. Now, I was just pulling up inflation calculator, and this last 5 years, the last several years, has been the highest inflation in the last 40 years.
Mm-hmm.
But for the 5 years total, we've only had 21% inflation during that time. So you're probably getting more money than inflation. Are you increasing your service greatly to pay for that, or how's that work?
The contribution that Woodway contributes, with us having over 200 environmental health permits placed here, is still significantly lower than the cost it would cost if you all decide to hire a health inspector yourself and just have a health inspector on site. So I don't think I can answer your question, because it's not a fee-for-service model in that way that you're speaking
of.
It's
not exactly what I'm asking.
Can you clarify, please?
Or is the service that you've been providing 5 years ago or today, basically...
Has it improved by 50%?
Yeah, yeah. Well, it's probably about 29% more than what it...
We definitely have more environmental health permits placed in Woodway today than we did 5 years ago.
Okay.
That I can tell you that. And in addition to all of that, over the last 3 years, we have actively responded to a pandemic that impacted residents in Woodway. And there is no way that without the local health district, the county could have had the response that we had.
I just cannot imagine not being a funding member and not doing our part amongst all of the other municipalities who are participating in this. And I mean, it sounds like they've had people who came together and discussed what was needed. And again, they hadn't really adjusted much after the pandemic. And now this is what has been determined. And again, in order, one, I think we can, as I said last week, I think we can really put out there to our community the services that are offered to them. But even without that, to be a good neighbor and to be a participant, I just, I think that it's necessary, absolutely necessary.
Now, you said their city's still coming in, hadn't signed yet. So have they been asking you the same type of questions, or what's making them be a little slower about
it? It's just the budget process. Every city does their budget process, and as they finalize their budget, they'll send us the funding letter. I know we've received agreements from Bellmead. I'm looking at my list now. Bellmead, Bruceville Eddy, Crawford, Robinson, I believe Lacey Lakeview, of course the City of Waco, which is the biggest contribution that we must maintain, Ross and West, I believe. The two cities that do not fund are Hallsburg and Leroy, and Hallsburg has 419 residents and Leroy has 354 residents.
And
they're the
always,
only two that don't fund.
And those always don't.
Yeah, they're the only two that historically
about the
don't.
Out of, like, I didn't hear Hewitt. I guess they're...
Hewitt, they'll send their letter in.
But they haven't yet.
They have, yeah. And yeah. Their city secretary was on the committee that came up with the new funding model.
What was the total budget?
For the
5 or 6 slides back, the total
budget. I think go back one. 4.8 million.
Okay. Okay, so if you compare City of Woodway's population to City of Waco's population, it's about 6%.
Ms. Horn, we typically have public input on each agenda item. So I'm going to let the council ask their questions first, and then I'll turn it over to the public for their questions. So just hang on to that question.
Just for a statement, we'll probably vote yes. I'm just not happy about the large increase, and that's why I'm questioning you so much on that. And hopefully in 5 years, if I'm still around, maybe it won't be as big an increase, because I feel like we're getting a heavier, I mean, I agree with you that we can't do it ourselves for that amount of money, but it just seems like it's, and I understand that you might have had more expense during the pandemic, and maybe this is a little bit of catch up, but that's the reason I like the 1 year possibility, just in case you see 3 years down the road, 4 years down the road, we overestimated, maybe we should go with that 25 cents instead of 35 cents. Yeah. And that's my main complaint. I'm not a pushover that says I'll take it no matter what because it's great. But I agree, we do need it.
Okay, Mr. Mayor, I personally appreciate you being here twice now. Thank you for that. Obviously, the County Health Department provides important services both to individuals within this community and a broad range of services to the entire county. And the cost is approximately, for this year and previous years, the cost of a hamburger for each of us. So this is not only quite a small amount, it's also quite a small amount of our budget. So I would certainly propose that we agree to pay our fair share, which is, I believe, $31,433.
Yeah. Somewhere in that neighborhood.
Yeah. Thank you, Councilman. Councilwoman, did you have any comment?
I appreciate what Story said and what Gail said. especially in light of our previous meeting and budget surplus, this seems like a no-brainer to me.
Yeah. Thank you. Okay.
Small leak, sink ships.
Just remember that.
Well, go ahead, John. Yeah.
So your funding model really is consistent with what you've had in the past. I mean, 25 cents to 35 cents, it's not a big difference. I think that, first, thanks again for coming back. I was one of the ones that had some questions as well, but I think that people don't understand exactly, you know, what you all do for the county as a whole, and that we could not do it. And so the amount of money that it would cost us really would be expounded upon if you think about having to hire that one person to do this. And over time, that's going to escalate. So I appreciate what you guys do. And I agree that it's something that we should continue to do. And okay. I have no problem with it.
Yep. All right. Ms. Horn, if it's okay with you, I'm going to open it up for our guests to say a few words. So does anybody have any comment on this item?
We're 9,500 citizens.
Okay, so
there are 130.
130,000. We're a little more than 8 something percent.
About
8. So it looks like with the numbers that we. And Waco is paying more of the share.
Yeah, the city of Waco.
8%. We're not 8% of the 48 is not what I'm aware of.
So Waco pays around $22 per person, where every other city pays the $3 and then the $3.30.
Correct.
Well, you can even look at the pie chart. 5%. Yes. Member cities only contributes a total of 5%. So if you want to look at it from that standpoint, we're nowhere close to, as one city, you know, 9% or 5%.
Any other public comment? Did we get his name, Donna, on the cup? Thanks.
Yeah, thank you, Paul.
All right, thank you, Ms. Horn.
Thank you,
I appreciate
so much.
Thank you for being here again. Really appreciate it. Guys, this is a no-brainer. We need the health district.
Would you like a motion?
I'll take a motion. Let's get this passed.
I move that we consider action to renew participation in the Waco-McLennan County Public Health District for the term running October 1st, 2023 through September 30th, 2028, and authorizing the mayor to execute all documents in connection therewith.
I'll second that.
Second.
It's been moved and seconded. I'll now call for the vote. All those in favor, please say aye.
Aye.
All opposed, please say nay.
Yeah.
The ayes have it, and the Waco-McLennan County Public Health District is renewed for another term.
Thank you
all very much. Thank you, Ms. Horn. And thank you for coming back. We really appreciate it. And thank you for all the health district is doing. All righty. Item number 4, we've got some heroes that we want to say thank you to. So this is the presentation of life-saving award to Corporal, is it Patek? Pettick? Officer Webb and Officer Kinneaster?
Kinneaster.
Thank you, sir. So sorry. I've got a very easy name to pronounce, so I can relate. All right. So, gentlemen, if you want to come here with your families, if you wouldn't mind just coming up here to the front, we want to be able to recognize you.
Don't be shy. Come on. These guys were 19. They really don't want to be seen. Is Mr. Byers here? Awesome. So I'm going to read a letter that I received a few weeks ago from Mr. Byers' son about his father. Dear Chief O'Halby, this letter concerns the actions of 3 Woodway public safety officers, the other officers out of state who already had plans. On the early morning of Sunday, July 23rd, 23, a call of emergency medical assistance was made to Woodway Public Safety at 1:22 a.m. concerning uncontrolled bleeding at the address of my mother and father. Because the house was security gate, officers were advised to breach the gate on their response if necessary. They made entry and immediately found me barely conscious on the floor covered in blood. Upon my arrival, which was less than 1 minute behind the 3 responding officers, I saw that one officer was already performing blood sweeps in an effort to locate the source of the bleeding, while the second officer was assisting. Upon identification of the likely bleeding location, one officer provided direct pressure, which controlled the bleeding. The second officer set up and assisted in providing oxygen via a nasal cannula. In cases of severe blood loss, proper oxygenation is critical to patient stabilization and survival, and they ensure positive blood flow through the incident. Throughout the EMR response, Woodway officers continued to perform stabilizing, life-saving measures and personally carried my father out of the house using a flexible SCEFCO litter to the ambulance gurney. Once at the hospital, ER staff provided approximately 3 liters of blood and stabilized him. As you are aware, a patient rarely survives the loss of 2.5 liters of blood, so this shows that a rapid intervention was absolutely critical to the survival. Given the rapidity of the officer's response, application of life-saving skills, and willingness to stay in the fight, they saved my father's life. In fact, he's 100% back to normal as I write this. In my 20 years as a technical rescue instructor, I can tell you that officers such as these that work as a team are the ones who win the day. This is no doubt in my mind that they saved a life that night, and their heroic actions bring honor not only to themselves, but to the entire department. It's for this reason I would recommend each one of them for a life-saving award of the highest award. So that's what I want.
We're moving on. Thank you so much to those brave individuals. Thank you for your service and for all you do. Item number 5 is our presentation by the Midway Independent School District regarding the Midway ISD's current funding and financial outlook. So I see Dr. Allen here. Dr. Allen,
yes, sir.
Welcome.
Thank you.
Good to have you.
Thank you very much.
So, any comments? Ready to go. Take it away.
Thank you very much. I'd like to start by making sure everyone knows that tomorrow is the first day of school. Stay off the roads. So anyway, I believe I have a presentation. Okay. What I want to talk you through for just a second is a discussion we'll be having tomorrow night at the school board about the potential for a voter-approved tax rate election. And I want to give you some details behind that. So if we can go to the next slide. What's the issue that we need to address? We have a staffing shortage. We start school tomorrow, and we're not 100% staffed. Now, we are extraordinarily creative, and so through a combination of baleen wire and duct tape, we're ready for school. But in all seriousness, it's causing us to increase the workload on a number of our staff beyond what they are normally expected to do. I can show you some slides in a minute that will talk to retention and recruitment that make this more sense. We're facing this challenge at the same time teachers are under unprecedented levels of criticism, and we're seeing the cost of inflation. The truth of the matter is that for a period of time, Midway was able to stay somewhat under market and still hire well, A, because there were lots of teachers available, and B, because of some of the hidden advantages of Midway ISD. The truth of the matter is, though, that when folks are trying to make a decision between working for Midway or making rent, they're going to make rent. And we're just flat out getting outpaid. And we've seen inflation like we've not seen before. And we're having a hard time keeping wages in line with that. There's also pressures across the state. First-year teachers in Houston, Dallas, and other large metropolitan areas are making about $60,000 a year and up. And teachers are relocating to try and make those types of salaries. In addition to that, although we are seeing increase in property values, they really have no impact on our M&O revenue. They help us a little bit, but not nearly as much as one might think. The most fun thing in the world is to try and explain school taxes to folks, but real quickly, and I know you have context for this, but we have our INS bucket of money that pays for new construction, okay? It pays for the bonds that build new buildings. We have our M&O bucket of money that pays for reoccurring costs, such as teacher salaries, electricity, insurance, and the like. I get asked the question all the time, how can you build a new facility but not afford to pay teachers? It's simple. We use bond funds to build new buildings. And it's illegal to use those funds to pay teachers. And so it's counterintuitive to see some of our nice facilities and me stand up here and say we're struggling to be able to maintain funds for our staff. But it's just the way the system works. Next slide, please. Thank you. So here are some teacher retention numbers. In 1920, right before we started COVID, we had about 90 new teachers to the school district. This year, we'll be welcoming 137. You'll notice a high point there of 193 for the 22-23 school year. That number is an anomaly. That's the year that we opened up Park Hill Elementary School, so it's artificially inflated. But you can see the trend line that we're facing, even if you remove the 22-23 school year. Not only are we hiring brand new teachers, but we're hiring folks who have less experience than what we're accustomed to hiring and, frankly, less preparation. Prior to the pandemic, about 22% of the people who were going to college were declaring education as a major. That number is now down to 4%. So we're fighting for people, for fewer people in the market. Okay, thank you. The next slide will show you how we compare to some of our neighbors with regard to compensation. In our early years, we're being beat by one neighboring district, but then once you get to that 7 or 8 year mark, we're starting to get outpaced pretty significantly. And so this is creating a challenge for us as we not only try and recruit teachers in general, but especially those who have some experience. And frankly, we're having them hit that 8-9 year mark and leave us for other districts. So we spend a lot of time getting people really good before they take off and join other school districts. Some of those numbers, I'll tell you too, do not include items such as signing bonuses and stipends for hard to fill positions. And there's a number of those that are being used by some of our neighboring districts that we frankly don't have access to the federal funds that they currently have access to. Okay, thank you. This is always shocking to people, but it's absolutely the truth, and the numbers that support this come off of the comptroller's website. But we actually spend less M&O money per student than any school district in McLennan County. And it blows people's minds because of what we pay in taxes out here, but that's more a function of the value of the property and not the rate at which MISD has set the tax rate. I have another slide to demonstrate that more in a minute. One might ask, how are some of our neighboring districts outpaying us? It's simple, they're out-taxing us. They tax at the M&O level significantly higher than we do, and so they have more funds to use to try and recruit and retain staff. Next slide, please. This demonstrates that. This is the M&O tax rate from the 22 school year. Not everyone has set their new tax rate yet. In fact, that will not be ours next year. They're all gonna go down quite a bit. However, if you're looking at an apples-to-apples comparison, we were at 0.85 and no one was lower. And if you look at the folks who are outpaying us, they tend to be about 9 pennies higher than us. That's significant. Okay, thank you. If you take the M&O and INS tax rate together, now I'll remind you, INS is how we build buildings. We are still in the bottom half of the county. That 0.27 cents on the INS tax rate is what we're using to build things like the additions to the high school, Park Hill Elementary, and other locations. I will also tell you that although property values do not help us very much on the M&O side, they do help us on the INS side. And so we're blessed to be able to have the opportunity to leverage an area in which we're running thin to help us with an area in which we're running rich. And I'll explain that more in a minute. Okay? So what have we already done? Well, we've already researched other options affecting staff recruitment and retention, such as student behaviors, teacher workload, and the like. And we've done a lot of work to address those issues. We've eliminated 16 staff positions already worth about $700,000 worth of salary. And so we're already looking for ways to trim. And we're in the midst of undergoing an independent financial efficiency audit. so that we can prove up the fact that we're being wise with the money with which we've been entrusted. Thank you. We're going to the next slide. So what are we talking about? Tomorrow night, the board's going to hear a presentation very similar to this one and look at some scenarios. We're talking about a potential 3% increase on the M&O tax rate. That would glean $3.75 million a year this year, the 23-23 budget, and every year moving forward. It would include, this would be getting the last of the three golden pennies that we have available to us. The reason that matters to you is this. We are right on the verge of becoming a district that pays into Robinhood. You might be aware of the exponential growth that we're seeing in the industrial park, and there's a big plan or two coming online, and when they do, we will be paying into Robinhood. Whether we pay into Robinhood or not, every dollar that comes from the three pennies that are those golden pennies stays local. The state, as the rules are currently written, would not be able to put their hands on that money. So that's local tax dollars that would stay local. It is not subject to require, it would require voter approval. The board cannot do this by fiat. It requires voter approval, so it'd be on the ballot November 7th. This would be used for teacher salaries and consumables and also allow us to come up with something sustainable on security personnel. We have come up with a solution for how to have an armed person on every campus. I don't know that that solution is sustainable. We're going to need additional revenue in order for that to happen. Please, thank you. We are also talking about at the very same time, actually before November 7th, dropping the INS rate by three pennies. Okay, so the board may very well adopt a tax rate that is three pennies lower tomorrow night and put on the ballot a three penny increase for November 7 on the M&O side. It's been a long time since I've had to sit down and do complicated math other than finance, but the last time I checked, plus three and negative three is zero. So we have the opportunity to generate $3.75 million additional dollars, and the overall burden to our taxpayers would be zero. You consider the fact that in addition to that, because of compression created by the state, if you'll hit that one more time, you're going to see an 18.5 cent compression. What we're talking about is people's school taxes going down by 18.5 cents, and if people were to vote yes on the Vader, us picking up $3.75 million. So we've been able to come up with a way to think creatively about how to leverage our INS gains against our M&O losses, so this is very, very manageable for the taxpayers in our community. In addition to that, on the November 7th ballot will be a $100,000 homestead exemption. Currently, taxpayers have a $40,000. So that will lead to additional savings. For the first time, we're seeing a cap on commercial properties. And as has been the case for a very, very long time, anyone who's 65 years old or older and has filed for the exemption, their taxes can go down and can never come back up. So they will see that 18.5 cent compression and it will not come up again. And to put a fine point on that, what if the district comes back in 3 years and asks for a bond election to go back up three pennies to meet future needs? If you're 65 old or older, those 3 cents would not come back on your roll. They go down and they stay down. By the way, we have the capacity to make it unlikely that we would need to come back and ask for additional pennies on a bond. The last bond we passed, we even went down by a penny. This school board has a history of being able to generate revenue while being very, very sensitive to the taxpayers. And the proposal that we'll be taking to the board will continue to build upon the history of trying to make things as good as they need to be for the district and affordable for the taxpayers. Next slide, please. So here are some numbers that didn't translate real well when we emailed this over, but at the end of the day, we're talking about increasing the M&O tax rate by $90 a year and decreasing the INS tax rate by $90 a year based on an average home value of $400,000. Next slide, please. You can skip this one. It shows what would happen if no one else changed their tax rates. That's not going to happen. If you'll go to the next one, please. I'm trying to be sensitive to time. So here's the tax rate history for the district. I mentioned before that the district has a history of being very cautious in the way that they manage taxes. They have gone down for the last 20 years. There was a small bump in 08 to build Castleman Creek Elementary School, River Valley Middle School, and, well, in those days it was intermediate school, and do some other work with the district. But even in the last bond program, they went down by a penny. Next one, please. So what if it does not pass? What if the voters vote no? We'll have a $5.5 million budget deficit. To put that in perspective for you, that's roughly 90 teachers worth of money. We've already cut a bunch of staff, y'all. And 85% of our budget is personnel. The other 15%, fuel, insurance, electricity, and other costs over which we have very limited discretion. So I'm not telling you we'd cut 90 teachers. We would have to definitely downsize our personnel in a way that would affect our ability to provide the programs that people are accustomed to, and we'd have to generate revenue in other ways that are not nearly as cost-effective for the consumer. We are looking at other expenditure cuts as we can find them, and we're looking at other opportunities to increase revenue through, like, expanding our footprint with regard to advertising and other opportunities such as that. Thank you, if you mind. So let me give you some details about what's going to happen next. You will see on the ballot that it would ask for an increase to the MNO tax rate worth $3.75 million. What it will not say on the ballot is that the board will have decreased the INS tax rate in August. And so my biggest challenge is making sure people don't forget that when they go to the ballot, although they're calling it an increase, it is actually an 18.5-cent decrease, and the district will have already dropped by 3 pennies on the INS rate. And now most people, when they hear that, they see that this is kind of a common sense move for the district to try and talk about. However, there's a long time between August 15 and November 7, and there's lots of opportunity for noise to get in the way of what is really a common sense solution to a fairly complicated problem. If you'll do the next one, please. And so the election day will be November 7. Early voting starts October 23rd. Registration is October 10th. We have county elections, but we listed here the ones that are kind of on our side of the world. And so with that, I would field any questions that you might have for me.
Dr. Allen, thank you.
Mm-hmm. Off subject a little bit, we have about 15 to 20% of Woodway that's not in Midway School District. We would love to find a way to have those borders moved and brought into Midway School District. Right now you're jumping over that area and going to Spiegelville to take care of. Is there any chance that we can get those borders changed and make all of Woodway Midway School District?
Councilmember Russell, I'm going to caution this is not on the agenda. This is a topic for the Midway Athletic School Board, not the City Council.
Okay.
Feel free to contact me offline.
All right, any other questions for Dr. Allen? Thank you for being here the night before school.
Yeah. Well, and with that, I'm going to beg the council's leave as I have a few things to sew up before 8,700. Yes. Yes. Not that I'm counting. Kiddos show up. So y'all have a good day. Be safe.
Thank you
for your time.
Thank you.
Thank
have
you.
A great school year.
Thank you very
thank
much.
Thank you, sir. Item number six is our quarterly presentation from Community Services and Development. This is their report regarding progress on new construction, anticipated completion dates, and the issuance of certificates of occupancy and inspection statistics for the third quarter of fiscal year 2023. Mr. Davison, hello.
Good evening, Council, City Manager. It's good to see you all this evening. Chief, always a pleasure. I'll be brief. I know that it's a long meeting for you all, so we'll go through this very quickly. This is our quarterly report ending this past quarter, which would have been at the end of July, I believe. So,
I think it was the end of June.
Is it actually the end of June? All right. Yeah. Look, who's keeping track? So we'll just get started. Most of these are just going to be pictures of residential developments that we've got going on here in the city. Charleston Park is down on Cotton Crossing, which is actually the Lakes of Heather Run, which is down on the old timers would call it the old golf course. Same thing with Heather Run and Heather Run Drive. These are both down there in that same area. These are smaller homes, but in the garden area. Westlake Addition is a new subdivision. There are no homes here started currently. They're just getting ready to start selling lots, is my understanding. A Cedar Creek Court is Badger Ranch Phase, no, I'm sorry, Lake Forest Phase 3. I believe there's a few more pictures of them as we go along. But Stone Lake Court is actually in Lake Forest Phase 2, which is down by the lake, going behind City Hall here. Go ahead. Harbor Drive is an infill lot, as Harbor Drive is long since developed, but there's just some lots there that are remaining that they're infilling. Next one. Ritchie Road and Torrey Springs. So the Ritchie Road one's addresses are Badger Ranch Phase 6. And Torrey Springs is actually Phase 5. So that's down in Badger Ranch. Star Canyon is an infill lot in Badger Ranch Phase 2. Cypress Court is at the end of Dominion Drive in that area, down by past Badger Ranch if you're going in that area. Denali Drive, Sequoia Lane, Boonfield Court are all in the Tanglewood subdivision, one of our newer subdivisions over on the south side of town. As our Kanai, Rainier, and RDB Court, you can kind of see from these pictures, there's a lot of empty lots here. They're still getting started in that development. It's taken off, but it's still got a lot of empty lots. Omegaria Drive is an infill lot over there in the Tanglewood area. Go ahead. And these are also infill lots. White Oak Drive is actually over here in what I'd call the Bird Streets and the Oak Streets, going towards CVS and Walgreens. And Rainbow Lake is another one. Rainbow Drive is down there. It's just an infill lot where there, some people have bought some lots, plowed them together, and they're making houses. These are more of our commercial projects. 1100 Estates Drive is the Woodway Family Center right here behind. I'm sure if y'all walk out tonight, just you can poke your head out there and see it. But it's come along really nicely. I'm sure Jimmy's going to give a nice report on it when he gives his. 193 Archway is a retail sale building in the Colonnade area, as is the Colonnade Parkway. That's the U-Haul building, which is actually behind the 193 Archway. U-Haul is getting ready for CO. We have temp CO'd one of their buildings, and they're progressing to finish up the other two. So that should be up and running, I would say, in the next couple of months. Go ahead. 9111 Jordan Lane is finished. They're doing fill now for different suites in that building. Tenovus Health is up and running, and they're starting some of the adjacent suites. 300 Merrifield, this is actually out at the city shop. This is a project that y'all approved for us. That was the picture taken back in June. I would say now that building is complete. So we tore down the old shop building and built a new one. And so it's finished. The Outlook building, building 5 is down in in the Outlook. But they're building a steakhouse there is what we've been told. And it's come along nicely. It's a little freestanding building in there. So 16,000 Little Drive is Florco. This is down there by the gun range in the Methodist Church. And they have since received their CO, so they are up and running, so they're good to go. I believe you were handed the quarterly figures as far as inspections for the inspections department. We're still very robust. There's a lot of inspections going on. So with that in mind, I'll answer any questions y'all might have.
Any questions for Engineer Davison?
Thank you.
A lot of activity. Yeah. A lot of people moving to Woodway. A lot of things happening.
I do have one question. I'm sorry to let you borrow. A lot of activity, but we haven't had much going on in the P&Z. Is there any reason for that?
My initial response would be that there's just not much land left to develop.
It's all running out.
And so it's going to start slowing down as far as big P&Z items. And we do still have some land that's out there to be developed. But I think that's I don't know that we're seeing a slow of, as a region, but I think we will see a slowdown as a city because we're just running out of land.
Okay. Thank you so much. Great report. Appreciate it. Thank you. All right. Item number 7 is our quarterly presentation from the Public Safety Department. This is their report regarding crime statistics and law enforcement activities in the third quarter of fiscal year 2023. Chief.
Council, thank you for the opportunity to present our quarterly numbers. My presentation has pictures.
His did too. His had pictures. Wow.
Next slide.
Don't take that, Davidson.
Next slide. as you can see, our numbers in comparison to last year's same quarterly time frame, we had a 15% increase in reports taken. Total fire and police activity was 8,353 calls within a three-month period. And that's just the numbers added up, the 5751, the 3371, those numbers added up to give us that number, compared to 8,342 last year. So 11 call increase, which is percentage minimal. The 8,353 calls, the 8,353 calls within this quarter, that is including officer-initiated activities, which is traffic stops, which is everything, EMS calls, individuals that call in for services that we provide. That 8,353 is a call or an officer initiate activity every 15 minutes of every hour of every day, Monday through Friday. So that's how we get that number. 33% of our traffic stops resulted in citations, 66% resulted in warnings. Top violations were DWI. We were taking advantage of a grant that was given by TxDOT, where they refund 100% of the overtime rate of the officers working, for specifically for DWIs that officers worked. So we were able to take advantage of that. As far as online solicitations, stayed zero. Burglaries were vehicles. Thefts, our main culprit of that is commercials like 7-Eleven or HEB, and even that is one every 3 days. And they're usually very under 100. They're usually just little things that were taken, the individuals call and we respond to. You'll notice, and this is a pattern, whenever you see less calls for service, officers have more time to do officer-initiated activities, so those traffic stops will naturally increase. And that's a good thing to see. So on the 2022, you see more calls for service, and you have officers having more time to do officer-initiated activities. And I'm here to answer any questions y'all may have.
Do we still have that grant? Is that grant still ongoing?
Yes, sir. Yes, sir, we do. For the remainder of 2023, and it's specific holidays and times that they deem appropriate.
Okay.
Yeah.
Thank you. Yes.
Thank you, Chief. Great report. Thank you. Thank you.
You know statistically how safe we are compared to other towns or cities of our size?
Just love that softball for me. Yes. We are, I have not seen in the 911 statistics any city with a population over 5,000 to save.
Okay.
And we have no borders, we have no oceans around us. That's 100% of those public safety officers. We have a reputation.
Thank you, Chief. Item number 7 is our quarterly presentation from the Finance Department. This is their report regarding general fund revenues and expenses, utility fund revenues and expenses, and tourism fund revenues and expenses for the third quarter of fiscal year 2023. Hi, Ms. Hernandez.
Hey, Mayor. Thank you. This is the only picture I have. The rest are graphs.
Typical accountants.
Oh, just wait till next month. I'll have videos and everything.
We want GIFs in the next one.
Yeah. Yes, sir. Councilman Keeson, I think this is the first time you've participated in a quarterly report on this side of the table, so I just wanted to let you know how it works. I go over the quarterly financial performance report that I give to y'all in your packets, and then I just pull a few graphs and discuss those. So if you have any questions, I'll take those at the end. So this first slide relates to the general fund revenues. And what we're doing on this slide is comparing how we're doing today versus this same time last year. So the darker green is current year, lighter green is last year. So for the most part, we're collecting more money this year than we did last year, with the exception of property taxes, because as you know, property taxes decreased last year. On the next slide, this is comparing budget to actual. So, of property taxes due January 31st, it makes sense that we've collected 99% of what we budgeted. Sales tax is about 79%. We're three quarters in. That's about where I want to be. Franchise fees are at 68% of what we have budgeted. This is normal where Encore pays once a year. So by September, that'll be 100%. And then other revenue, this will include permits, interest, pavilion rentals, family center events, that's at 66%. This also includes that large transfer from tourism fund, so you'll see that one probably over 100% by 9:30. Next, we'll jump to the utility fund. General fund expenditures. I'm getting ahead of myself. These are our four major categories within the general fund. Expenditure-wise, general government, public safety, community services. As you can see, comparing the darker green to the lighter green, we're tracking along, spending more than we did in the prior year, with the exception of community services. And that looks strange because sanitation is pulled out. Sanitation is now in its own fund. But for the most part, we're just tracking along. Next is general fund expenditure budget to actual. No worries. So these are our respective departments. These are the numbers that I watch monthly. I send out a budget report to the various department heads saying, hey, this is what you spent this month. This is as a 630. I look to see anywhere from 70 to 75% of their allotted budget. So general government, public safety, community services tracking right along. Community programs, that includes the Arboretum, Family Center, Youth Commission, and then the mowing on Highway 84. That one's lower just because we had some vacancies in the Family Center. But for the next year, with the new Family Center being open, I expect that number to utilize all the funds that are allotted. Now we'll go to the utility fund. Water charges, sewer charges. This is all based on what we're selling. So as consumption goes up, we're going to bring in more revenue. So that's where the green is showing that we're bringing in more, along with any water rate increases or sewer rates, that will be reflected in the green number. So we're tracking along there. And the next slide, Donna, is the expenditure side of that. Again, if we're selling more water, we have to buy or pump more water. So we're going to have an increase in expenditures, as well as we have some sewer lift stations that we've needed to repair. Well, you'll see those expenditures come in as well. And then the next slide is the budget to actual. It's pretty proud of the water utility department because it's right where I want it to be, right at 75-ish percent, with the exception of other income. Other income is only 20,000, so don't let the 44% fool you. It's a small amount compared to the overall budget. And then lastly, I believe we have the tourism fund. So show you revenues in the current year compared to prior year. It looks a little down, but these hotels have until the end of the following month of a quarter end to pay. So in June, we didn't actually collect anything, but in July, we did collect quite a bit to make it look more than that current revenue. And the next slide will be the budget actual. Again, three quarters in, expected to be about 75% of revenues. We're a little under at 69, but we made up for that in July. And the expenditures are lower, but the year-end transfer will true that up. And I believe that's all I have for slides, but I wanted Councilman Russell at the budget workshop, you were talking about investments in cash. And within this quarterly report, there is a section that talks about where's our money, what's the interest rate we're getting on that money. So it's included in this on a quarterly basis. And I can start adding it to the PowerPoint. If you'd like, just let me know.
It'd be good.
Yes, sir. Any questions, comments, concerns?
Let me ask you a question about the Carlene Bright endowment.
Yes, sir.
I believe it showed it was at 0.7% interest. It's $250,000. You know, we need to get back up to market rate very easily. You wouldn't be losing nothing.
We don't control it. That's controlled, as she set up the trust, by an outside party at Community Bank.
Correct. That's not included in any of our numbers.
We need to. I saw it somewhere, I thought.
But. Oh, sir. That's the operation. So that's actually just the interest that we can transfer out every year on that enlarged endowment. Mm-hmm. So that gets transferred out in January. And then Lindsay and Jack are able to spend those funds however they please. But the principal, that large amount.
Yeah, we can't touch the principal because it's endowment. But I want to make sure, and maybe you might want to check this to see what they are getting. If the person that we're hiring is only getting us 1.7%, we need to have a strong talk with them because it needs to be closer to 5%. And that would make a large difference on $245,000.
We'll have to get with the receiving of that endowment. We'll see what we can do.
Okay.
But he doesn't consult with us when he makes investments or trades or sales.
It's just that there's it's not in a CD, it's in a brokerage?
Yes.
Okay. I was just thinking it'd be better in a CD right now because it'd be about $10,000 difference in revenue versus 7.7% and 5%.
It's a higher percentage in stock holdings than anything else. Mm-hmm.
Yes, sir. Any other questions, Councilman?
Great work. Good Thank
job.
You, Brenda.
Thank you.
Thank you, ma'am.
Thank you.
Great job. Moving right along here, item number 9 is our semi-annual presentation from the Carlene Bright Arboretum and Pavilion at the Arboretum's and the Pavilion at the Arboretum's report regarding repairs, improvements, attendance, and programming for the previous 6 months. Who have we got for that? Mr. Jack. Good evening, sir.
How's everybody? Thank you, Mayor, Council, City Manager, for allowing me to be here. I want to give you a quick synopsis of what's been going on out at the Arboretum the last several months. I think the last one I missed, it was my anniversary. I apologize. It won't happen again. First of all, I'm just going to run down a little list. We have our slide up there, the perimeter and fruit orchard fencing, and I'll just tell you real quick, as you go across the bridge, we put a white picket fence in to create an orchard. We put about seven different fruit trees in there. If you haven't been across there, it looks really nice. The deer have fun eating anything that blooms, but it still looks pretty good. The perimeter fencing, you notice around coming down Bosque and Wood Valley that it's a wooden fence structure now. If you're really inquisitive, you'll notice there's three rails on the left and four rails on the right, and we didn't run out of money. What we did is we made sure on the right, where the children's area is located, that the kids, small kids, couldn't get underneath the rail number one and two from the ground, so we put an extra one in there.
That's great.
So it's a safety measure. Everything we do over here, we look out for safety. Pizza garden planting, if you go now, the pizza's burning in the oven. I'm just telling you, but back in the early spring, it was a hit. The kids came over there, Matt and Mike and Chris, my workers over there, they were teaching kids, you know, the kids were picking some of the sweet peppers and tasting them. It was a really educational experience for the children out there, and some adults also learned some things. Mm-hmm. But gazebo planting, we got everything around the gazebo painted, replanted. It's blooming. Of course, now we're battling the heat. But believe it or not, if you want to take a look at it, there's a wedding out there this Friday at 5 o'clock. Now, that's a brave bride right there, Andrew. 5 o'clock wedding Friday. Yeah. Be there. Composite picnic tables and benches. We've added those around the grounds. Little bit more expensive, but if you look at the warranty you get on there, they're going to last for years and years. You don't have rotten wood. Again, safety, because I've seen some of these picnic benches that are wood that you sit on them after a year or two and they'll collapse. So we wanted to look at the saving money and making them more safe for the people and spreading them out. And I promise you they're used, because I sat on one today on the way to the pavilion. So splash pad installation and painting. Splash pad is done. It's working perfectly. We painted the inner ring, stopped all the slipping. I noticed a little slipping on the outer ring, the sidewalk part. So I met with administration and we talked about it. And for the safety of the kids, because I watched them do a little slipping, we painted the outer ring this last week. It's all painted. It's got the anti-slip silica sand within the polyurethane. It's almost like a smooth sandpaper, so no slipping. So that turned out really nice. Tree planting and replacement, I'll go through that real quick, but when the sewer project came through, I think they took out 220-something trees coming through our 16 acres. We've planted over 340 or 50 trees back. So after the winter and the drought and this drought, we've lost... I met with the tree guy. We had about a 98% success rate on the trees planted before opening. And then so he came back. We had the warranty. He replaced seven trees. And so our tree situation up to today is pretty good shape. We're still battling some heat stress right now, but we're watching them every day. Main entrance sign, if you haven't come through the pavilion and taken a left and seen the big blue Arboretum sign, it's fabulous. This one here, I can change the bottom one because I think we moved this meeting back. The children's area swing and merry-go-round says in progress, is complete. We finished it Friday, the swing's in. It serves up to the age of 12. We have another swing that's a safety swing for the little kids. And then we have the merry-go-round, which is, it's not like Pogue Park where you can go 100 miles an hour, but it's more for the younger kids, and you get a slow movement, and it's safe. And we got the 10 inches of safety mulch, ADA-approved mulch. And so if you haven't seen it, it's ready to go. And last, we also have a reading box that we installed up there, a reading learning library. It's up in the children's area also. So other than that, Donnie hit the slide. I'll show you a couple. The top slide on the left, that's the fruit garden. You can see the white fence, picket fence going around there. Second slide, really, if you just change the outer, what you're seeing there, that's exactly what it looks like. The swing and the merry-go-round, that's up on top of the hill. The Arboretum sign, it's a great photo op for people. When that's the first thing they see when they come in. Right below it, you can see the extra rail we were talking about at the bottom to keep kids in for safety. Bottom left, you see the yellow painting. That was initial painting. The outer ring is now a lime green that matches the some of the apparatus that are within the splash pad. The gazebo painting, you see the, where now the roof is black. The, it's all been painted white. We repainted the brick. We put a gravel, what do you call that, a runway or an aisle, or I know it's not the green mile, that's where the bride goes down, but it's we painted it all, and so it looks good. Like I said, Friday at 5.
I got the joke. I got the joke.
No, you didn't get it. I hope somebody.
I don't think anybody else. I got the joke.
Yeah, green mile.
The green mile. But anyway, there's a pizza garden right there, and I know I've gone a little long-winded, but I missed the last one, so I wanted to make up. Does anybody have any questions? Fall planting will be coming into September, into October. So what little money I have left, I'll use, and then I'll get the rest out of next budget, and it'll be nice and green for the winter.
That's
anybody
so
have any questions?
Good.
I sound like an old school teacher and a coach, don't I?
Mr. Stanley, I've really heard nothing but amazing things about the Arboretum and the redesign, and the feedback has been...
And I'll reciprocate that back, because Sean checks with me all the time that we try to talk to everybody that comes out of there. There's people coming from out of state. People bring their kids to Baylor. They come by. They've never heard of it. They see signs. And I would say it's a 99.9% positive feedback. I did have one lady said the splash pad water was too hot. I said, it's 122 degrees out here. Anyway, does anybody have any questions? Good.
Great job. Thank you so much. Thank you so much. That's great. We need them back here more often. Okay, are we at item number 10 now? No, we're still on item number 9. Hello, Lindsay.
Good evening, Mayor and Council. I'm Lindsay Gomez. I'm the Event and Tourism Superintendent. Thank you for allowing me the opportunity to present to y'all tonight. So first, we are ahead on projections for revenue, focused on new sales and daytime business. That is going tremendous. We actually just received the Locals Love Us Award for number one venue in the area. We are completely booked on all of our Saturdays through January 2025, so we are very popular. And then all of our Fridays, Saturdays, and Sundays are booked through January 2024. We had our father-daughter dance that was sold out in under 24 hours, so that was a new record for us. It was an enchanted evening was the theme. We had catering from George's, cookie dough bar, and lots of dancing. And then we had our Ozo Motley concert in partnership with the Waco Family and Faith International Film Festival. That was also sold out. Amazing night of music. Then we had our first annual Arbo Fest, which was an amazing event. We estimated over 1,500 guests at this event, with the ribbon cutting from y'all and the butterfly release. Lots of great vendors. It was kind of a test for our farmers market that had an amazing response. And then we had some fun crafts, story time, yoga, scavenger hunt. So we're looking forward to doing that again this year. And then we had our mother-daughter brunch in full bloom that was also sold out. We had face painting, heritage, creamery ice cream. Again, lots of dancing, another fun year. And then we had our first Woodway Farmers Market on June 11th with roughly over 600 guests. We started out with 14 vendors. Hours we initially had for 11 to 2, we have adjusted that with the excessive heat. So right now it's 10 to 1. And we've had a lot of great response about that. Vendors are doing an amazing job with sales, a lot of great feedback from the community. So we're looking forward to continue doing that monthly. And then we had our acoustic night. Oh, I'm sorry. Social media following, that's increased as well. We are now over 2,500 followers. We're continuing to do our summer of giveaways, so that's a lot of fun as well. And then we had our acoustic night with Gabe Lee, Thomas Shorba, and Caleb Caudill on July 19th. That was a free event outside at the Whitehall patio area. Despite the heat, we had a great turnout. We're looking forward to doing more concerts and events out there whenever it starts to cool down a little bit more. And then we do have our next market, not July 23rd, this Sunday, the 20th, from 10 to 1. We have increased from 14 vendors to 20. We do have music from Jason Fletcher, Lee's Kitchen, Baylor Street Pizza, and Travelin' Tom's Coffee is going to be out there as well. So we're looking forward to that. And one more thing I did not get to include was our Wine Fest is going to be next month. So we're looking forward to that again. It's a night in Italy. Shameless plug, tickets are on sale right now at discoverwoodway.com. And then some pictures for y'all. So from the left to the right, we have the father-daughter dance. That was a lot of fun. Below, you see some of the activities from Arbo Fest, the butterfly release. There was a community mural as well. And then story time with the fabled reading lady. Then we have Ozo Motley in the middle. We had the first farmer's market in the top right, and then the mother-daughter brunch on the bottom right. Are there any questions that I can answer for you while I'm up here?
So great job. Yeah, wonderful.
Great job.
Excellent.
So appreciate you guys.
Thank you so much. Thank you. Did you say January 25 for weddings? Every Saturday?
For Saturdays, yes.
Every Saturday is booked up
for January 25.
For 2 years.
Yes.
Wow. Yeah, no kidding. Can I get on the schedule for my 13-year-old? I know, no kidding. I got to get on the schedule early. That's weird. Awesome. Okay, moving on. We're at item number 10 now. This is the semi-annual presentation for the Woodway Family Center's report regarding repairs, improvements, attendance, construction, and programming for the previous 6 months. All right, Mr. Jimmy. Good evening, sir.
Good evening, Mayor, Council, City Manager. Thank you all for allowing me to present tonight. Excuse me. So I have to say I'm not going to do this good. Jack and Lindsay did such a wonderful job. They're a very difficult act to follow, but do my best. So as you guys know, the sewer project has moved out of the parking lot, which we're very grateful for. And that parking lot's still in a temporary condition and will remain so probably through the end of the year into January. And that has affected a lot of our programming. During this time, we've also had a summer baseball league. We've had 110 participants. It's the first outdoor league since 2019, and it was a very, very well received league. We've also completed a tech club that's been in partnership with iCode. It sold out rather quickly. It looks to be a hit and something that we're going to continue. We had a summer basketball clinic. We actually had two sessions because the first one sold out so quick. We went immediately back with a second session, and it sold out as well. Following that was a summer volleyball clinic. With the same format, we set up one session, immediately sold it out, so we went back with a second session. And we're using coaches from Baylor, not D1 sports, but their club-level sports, and so that has been a very, very good partnership with them. When I created this presentation, we were under registration for a fall football league. Unfortunately, due to low turnout, that league was canceled. It's been 4 years since Family Center has had football at the center, and the environment for youth football in the county has changed a little bit. So we're going to attack that problem a little different going into the school year. We'll be in every elementary school in the area promoting our programming and hit that hard and heavy going into next fall. We don't look to have that same problem twice. First annual father-son cookout has been postponed. The date is now October 21st. Mm-hmm. October 21st. and we'll have tickets available for sale pretty soon. We have been doing facility rentals. One Dimension Valor has been, Preparatory Academy has been very good at renting the gym and the fields. We've hosted their volleyball team and now are hosting their junior high football team. We continue to do birthday parties and other family gatherings. A couple of things that aren't on this slide that we've done since it was prepared. Again, Tech Club has been just very popular, so we decided to do another Tech Club. It sold out within 2 hours. It's a small group, but very popular, so we're going to continue to add STEM and STEAM programming to the Family Center. This particular clinic focused on content creation for social media, something the Family Center is not accustomed to doing. So we're outside the sports realm, and we're seeing a lot of interest in that. Good. Next slide. A couple of pictures here. This is Tech Club, starting top left. That gentleman has programmed a robot, and he is now controlling it through his laptop. They actually had to assemble the robot, program that robot, and then they were allowed to play and control it and send it around the room. Picture in the middle is of the assembly of those robots, same as top right. Couple of the great pictures on the bottom. You see the bottom left, that is BattleBots. If you've seen the BattleBot TV show, this is, again, robotic programming that they program, and they create them to have different devices to battle each other, and that was a super hit. Some more of the programming going on. The right bottom picture, that is drones. It's kind of fuzzy, but there are actually two drones in the picture, and both the folks there are flying drones. That one was very popular, but we have to work out some kinks. They're not great pilots, so they crash and break. So we had that issue. We're going to need a lot more drones, for sure. Next slide, please. All right, so here's some of our sports leagues. Top right was our basketball clinic. In the middle was our T-ball league. Again, 110 participants. It was great to have activity back out on those fields. Some interaction with the coach and players there. Bottom left, some more basketball, as well as bottom right. Those kids had a tremendous time in those clinics, learned a lot. We have a great reputation or a great partnership with the Methodist Children's Home. One of their coaches comes out and puts on the clinics for us, and he's done that for several years now, so it's been a great partnership there. Before I move on to the next slide. So as far as programming, we look to continue to do all of the things that the Family Center has built a great reputation on. We do want to add to that, especially after the new center's open, but we're going to go outside the norm of what we normally do of youth sports, going for science, technology, engineering, arts, and math. So we've got a lot of creative programming coming up. Another thing that we're going to do some sports that are just not as popular. We do all the five major sports. We're going to add some things that you hadn't seen before coming up. Next slide, please. All right, the new Family Center. So as you guys know, construction began October 22nd. We've been holding weekly meetings with Irwin Construction, monthly meetings with our architect, RBDR. It says 60% complete at the time of this. Presentation was put together. We're now past 75% complete, and that's a month. So they closed a lot of work in the last 30 to 40 days. We still anticipate completion mid-November. If you read the activity report, you're aware that we had a hiccup. That hiccup has been resolved, and as of right now, there is no delay due to that. And that hiccup did not cost the city any extra funds. They were able to work that out amongst themselves and got that situation fixed. Council previously was provided with options for the current building. There will be a presentation on the next council meeting with options. We have run into a small snag, I say small, with the foundation, and so we'll bring to you a presentation that Parks and Rec saw last month with some options. Overflow parking lot in design at Fairway and Estates. Also have the design for the current parking lot, some changes that are going to need to be made, plus fixing the areas from the sewer line had destroyed that. That'll be coming to you as well pretty soon. And next slide, please. So some pictures, and again, what a difference 30 days makes. So none of these are even relevant anymore. If you hadn't seen it, it looks pretty impressive. It is almost 100% dried in, meaning all the glass and all the weathering has been completed. They're going to leave the front glass out for a while so the guys working on the inside don't burn up while there's no air conditioning in there. But the building does look quite a bit different. I tried to put pictures up that kind of show the stages from foundation to steel work to the brick and masonry work. And that at that time, that's as far as it was. But currently they're working on dirt work, which is quite a bit of dirt to be hauled into the site to bring up the ground around it, the driveway. Electricians are complete. Plumbers are currently putting in fixtures. Roofers are complete. Masonry is complete. So a lot of the big stuff is done. So right now for the rest of the project, it's just going to be details and a lot of finish work. So I hope you guys get to come see it pretty soon. It is amazing. And if you guys have any questions, love to answer them.
Looks great. Good job.
You know, we haven't even created one yet, so that won't start until October. I walk it frequently, and I give them some things as I see them.
Right, they're like punch lists in writing and communicate it to everybody you can. That's been my experience.
The trouble that I have is...
It keeps a lot of mistakes out of the projects.
It absolutely does. I'm looking at an unfinished product as I go, so every time I say, hey, what about that, they're, well... It's not first product.
How to get it in writing.
Yeah, absolutely.
Bring a secretary with you.
Anyone else have any questions?
Mr. Rogers, thank you.
Thank you.
Appreciate it.
Thank you so much.
All right, guys, we made it through the presentations. So great, great things happening in Woodway. Thank you all so much for those great presentations. We appreciate it. All right, we're moving on to our items for individual discussion, consideration, and or action. Item number 11 is discussion and consider action on the publication and retention of audio recordings and or minutes of meetings subject to the Open Meetings Act. Motion to discuss, please.
I'll make a motion to discuss.
I'll second.
Moved and seconded. Thank you all. Mr. City Manager, your comments, please, on this item.
Thank you, Mayor and Council. This is a request from Councilman Russell, and we have checked, and we will be able to do that. We're working with the WordPress company that manages our website, so I don't see that being a problem. Currently, what I would like to ask y'all to think about as you're considering this for approval is, since we're going to put the audio exactly like it's being recorded in this room or the other meetings that qualify under this, that we allow the staff to prepare what we call action minutes. And so it would be the caption and the motion, the second, and the action of the council. Mm-hmm. But the narrative, as you see it now, would no longer be there. The person or persons could then go straight to the audio and hear what was exactly said. The reason why we're asking, or I'm asking for this, is because the city secretary that transcribes all this usually spends a day or more for a meeting doing the transcription. So if we're going to put the audio up there and it's available, then why don't we just lighten her workload so she can focus on other things as she prepares for the next meeting and posts those agenda items. So as you have your discussion, I would just ask you to consider that also as part of your motion. Councilman?
I just like the idea of the transparency. And like you said, it's so hard for, we've got a great city secretary. But unfortunately, with our workload, every once in a while, there's a situation where a number's different, or there might be something that listening to someone like me speaking, she might not understood exactly what I said. And we have some people that will say, this is the way it was in the minutes. This is exactly what it was. Well, with the recording situation, we can have that document, audio document, so you can hear what's said. I don't have a problem at all. Matter of fact, I think it's a wonderful idea because I know so many of our staff work so hard. I like the idea of finding a way to make it a little easier and let the electronics handle it versus having someone having to write everything down. So I would just appreciate your support on this issue.
I can only second this feeling, as I have prior to getting on the council have encountered this exact problem where certain things that were said in a meeting weren't properly recorded in the meeting, in the minutes. And this will, as Mr. Russell says, this will just increase complete and total transparency where anybody can listen and see for themselves exactly what was said.
Yeah, I don't have a problem with it. I'm not going to be as critical of Ms. Barkley. I think she does a fine job. I think she has a big job to do. And her job is not to write everything that you say.
Well, by the way, just for clarification, that wasn't a city council meeting. That was a P&Z meeting.
Yeah.
So
P&Z will be recorded also.
And I don't mean to be critical.
They'd be subject to the act, because I think the discussion is for all of those meetings to just be.
Okay. Okay, understood. So all meetings subject to the Open Meetings Act will be recorded?
Let me clarify. We don't plan on doing a youth commission unless y'all make it directive. I don't plan on doing that one. BOA meets so very rarely. I'm concentrating on P&Z and I'm concentrating on council.
Okay.
If y'all want some other things, then we need to change the method and what we're doing it to get the minutes.
All those meetings are held in chambers, right?
Yes.
So it wouldn't be much to flip on the switch and just record those two?
No, those are currently being recorded.
Those are being recorded,
yeah,
okay.
That's not a problem.
Which ones are we talking about?
P&Z and this one.
Yes.
And that's it.
Well, the other ones.
Not Parks.
Well, youth commission does not record meetings.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
And
for
not,
safety.
And I'm not sure Parks.
Are you not? We have not been keeping minutes.
I don't think Parks records there.
They write the minutes.
Yeah. There are minutes.
Yeah, there's minutes, but we don't put it on a website, so we're okay.
Well, I'm thinking this is up for us to talk. If they have their sessions here in the chambers, if you're saying they're not recorded at all, there's no audio of them. Okay.
Parks and Rec.
Of Parks and Rec.
Okay.
I was going to suggest.
I don't want to go in there with youth because you got youth.
I don't want to do youth either, but I do. I was wondering about Parks, if we could do Parks also.
I think Parks, the difficulty part about that means we need to add an extra line in our website for Parks. Right now we just have P&Z.
But that's an extra, I think that's doable. I don't think that's
doable.
A big.
Sure.
And in the transparency age, we want to make sure that we provide everything we can. Is there an extra cost to doing this, to putting it?
If it's your wishes, we'll make it happen.
Okay.
Does anyone have any connection with another council that has actually done this and what issues they might have arisen as a result?
Bellmead's doing it and they haven't had any issues.
I don't think it's an issue to do the recordings.
Posting the audio recordings to the public.
Yeah. It's done quite frequently.
Yeah,
sure. It's not a unique or getting ahead of the curve or anything. We're catching up with some of the other cities. And like I said, the nice thing is it cuts the workload once everything's situated.
Well, I think I'm hearing a consensus on the recordings. I guess I just need to know, does anybody feel, I would be for having the Parks meetings recorded also and posted on there, just so that we have complete openness on that. Anybody have any heartache about that?
I think it's a great idea.
Okay. All right. Well, then let's, I'll entertain a motion. Oh, excuse me. Any public comment on this item?
Why didn't we do this 10 years ago?
We're here now. I think we're gonna do it now. All right.
How
if there's no
lie.
Other public comment, let's I'll entertain a motion.
How would we like to make the motion? How you want it worded?
Why don't you...
How about make a motion to post audio recordings to the city's website, which includes council, PNC, Parks and Recs, and also allow the staff, when they make the minutes, to attach that we are allowed to use action minute outline.
And what, within a 5 business day or 3 business? I have no idea.
The turnaround time?
Yeah.
I would ask you to let us get used to it,
yeah,
and then allow us to find out if we can tie that link or we have to get WordPress to tie that link. We don't have that answer.
Step one is get it started and then see.
And one question I should have clarified, this includes public comments being recorded and put on also,
right? Yes,
okay, all right, good to know.
So for simplicity, if I just say, I make the motion of what our city manager said, being he's already listed what's all on it. Anybody want to make a second?
Second.
Okay, I think that works, David. So,
yeah, I got second.
It's been moved and seconded. Any other discussion? Okay, I'll call for the vote. All those in favor, please say aye.
Aye.
Aye. All opposed, please say nay. The ayes have it and the motion carries unanimously.
Thank you, everyone.
Item number 12 is discussion and consider action on adopting resolution R-23-13, finding that Encore Electric Delivery Company LLC's application for approval to amend its distribution cost recovery factor and update generation riders to increase distribution rates within the city should be denied, authorizing participation with the steering committee of cities served by Encore, authorizing the hiring of legal counsel, and finding that the city's reasonable rate case expenses shall be reimbursed by the company. May I have a motion, please, to open this up for discussion?
I'll make the motion.
Second.
I'll second.
Moved and seconded. Thank you. Mr. City Manager, number 12, please.
Thank you, Mayor and Council. On June 30th of this year, Encore applied for a rate increase for the distribution cost recovery factor with the Public Utilities Commission. Cities have the unique ability to intervene rate cases such as this and negotiate with representation with the company applying for that prior. It's like when you go to mediation or arbitration prior to trial. And normally we're able to work this out. And so we hire consultants through the consortium. Utility companies pay for that on behalf of the cities. And they usually negotiate out and down expenses and the rate, and you are tabling the increase for 60 days to give the parties reason to work through this. Normally, once it's settled, they will bring us back either in an ordinance form or an approval to set aside instead of going to the PUC. And so this is just basically saying they're asking for $152.78 million company-wide. We're asking for a 60-day table of the rate increase and let the parties negotiate it.
Okay, thank you, sir. Council, is there any discussion on this item?
I'm for it.
Yeah.
Did I say 90 or 60? I
said 60.
Yeah, 60. I'm going to stay with that.
Okay. Any public comment on this item? All right, I'll entertain a motion on item number 12, please.
I'll make a motion to adopt resolution R-23-13.
It's been moved.
Second.
It's been moved and seconded. Thank you. I'll now call for the vote. All those in favor, please say aye.
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 All opposed, please say nay. The ayes have it and the resolution is adopted. Thank you all. Item number 13, discussion and consider action on changing the large item pickup schedule from January and July to April and October with Frontier Access LLC. May I have a motion to open this for discussion?
I'll make a motion to open.
Second.
Moved and seconded. Thank you. Mr. City Manager, item number 13, please.
Thank you, Mayor and Council. As part of the contract with Frontier, they have agreed to do 2 large item pickups every year. Currently, it is January and July for single-family residential. And Mayor, I understand that you had a couple of requests, and you're asking for this item to be considered for moving it from April to October. I met with Frontier and Mr. Henderson a few weeks ago, and he says it won't be a problem, and it is part of the contract, and there won't be any additional cost if you decide to change it to those months or any other month of your preference.
Okay. I had a senior resident ask me why the large pickup schedule is in the coldest month and in the hottest month. And I told her that's a great question. And she was very hot when she was taking out her large item to the. And she wasn't happy with me. She was on my neighbors. I don't see her here. She's not the same. So, very nice lady, but she asked me if I could ask council to move it to nicer months where it's not so cold and not so hot. So that's the reason for this request. We figured April and October would be a little bit more comfortable for moving out those large items.
We don't have to pick a date, just months, and then we'll pick a date later?
I guess.
We usually, internally, once you pick the month, we will pick a day on the schedule because they're back-to-back days.
Sure.
They usually do it a Thursday and a Friday, if I'm not mistaken. But that date moves a little bit, but it stays within the month you pick.
So far as from this standpoint, if we approve it, just approve it for October and April.
And then we'll pick the date, yeah.
I'm good with it.
Yeah.
Okay.
I would add one thing to this posting. Normally we tack on the language to allow the city manager to execute any documents in connection therewith. If you would authorize the city manager to renegotiate that or sign this as necessary, that would be clear.
Even if it's already part of the contract?
If we're going to send a written notice to change the dates, however that communication happens, just to authorize the city manager for... Yeah.
Okay. Probably the best way to say it is make a motion to allow the city manager to pick any day in April or October or April for a large item pickup.
And to authorize them. Right. What I'm asking for is authority for the city manager to sign on behalf of the city, which is normal for all of our contracts.
Okay. All right. Is there any public discussion on this item? Any public comment?
It's a great idea.
Okay. Great. Everybody's happy about this one. That's good. That's nice. That's nice to have. I like that. I wish they could all be like that. All right. Well, I'd like to make a motion to change the large item pickup schedule from January and July to April and October with Frontier Access and authorize the city manager to pick a date in April and October and give him the authority to sign on behalf of the city the amendment to the contract.
I'll second that.
I think Janelle beat you to it.
Yeah.
Thank you. It's been moved and seconded. I'll now call for the vote. All in favor, please say aye.
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 All opposed, please say nay. The ayes have it, and the motion carries. Thank you all very much. All right. Well, we're moving on to the consent agenda here. I'm just powering through. Does anybody need a...
No,
it's good. Break.
Oh no.
Everybody okay?
Ready.
I'm just trying to power through so that
I imagine everybody's tired out there.
Yeah.
All right.
Motion to approve.
Yeah.
Well, hang on. Let me All right. The consent agenda consists of non-controversial, routine, and budgeted items which require no public hearing. The consent agenda is subject to being approved with one single motion. However, the mayor or any city council member may remove any item from the consent agenda for separate discussion and consideration. Mr. City Manager, the consent agenda.
Thank you, Mayor. I would like to talk briefly about D's and David, E, F, and G. D is the appointment of one Abigail Corzal to the Woodway Family Commission representing grade 7. The next item, 14E, is declaring public safety vehicles and outdated phones as obsolete so that we can try to sell them in the secondary market or scrap them if that doesn't work. The third item is to renew the interlocal agreement between the Midway Independent School District, assigning three peace officers as school resource officers. This is an ongoing relationship we've had. It's very successful in the schools. They usually work the 180-day school year, not to exceed 190 for additional activities. The school district pays 80% of the officer salaries and benefits, and this has been a benefit for both of us. It started off just renewing signatures, but there's a few tweaks to the contract, and we're asking you for approval on that. The last thing is the expiration of the first five-year agreement with American Medical Response. Approximately 6 years ago, cities got together and took sealed qualifications or sealed proposals on ambulance service in the county. AMR was a winning company. They've been providing the service free of charge. What I mean by that is, in some communities, because of the pay ratio and the insured ratio and all, they have to charge a monthly cost to the cities because they can't make money running it. But because of the pay and the insurance in this community and communities around us, they're able to do this countywide free of charge, and they collect from people providing insurance and things like that. So we just need to renew that contract for another 5 years. And that's the consent agenda. Okay, we have somebody here if y'all need to break any of this stuff out.
For the AMR?
Yes, sir.
Okay,
yes, sir.
Great. Thank you for being here, ma'am. Council, you've got the consent agenda before you. I'm actually going to request item D be taken out just so I can recuse myself from the vote on that item. But is there any other item that you would like taken out for separate discussion?
I thought you might want it taken out just so we can talk more about your daughter.
No,
I just noticed there were a couple of, I don't know if you call them typos on the minutes.
Which item, Dave? Because we have to...
It would be B.
Okay.
A, actually.
Item A?
Yes.
Okay, let's pull that. Let's pull that for separate discussion. Let's pull it for separate discussion because we can't talk about it. Let me pull it out, okay, and then we can talk about it more. So item A and D pulled out for separate discussion. Anything else? All right. Thank you. I'll entertain a motion, item number 15, to approve the consent agenda stated without A and D.
I'll make a motion to approve it.
So moved. Seconded. All right. I'll call for the vote. All those in favor, please say aye.
Aye.
And the consent, anybody, any nays? No nays. All right, the ayes have it, and the consent agenda is approved, minus A and D. Thank you all. Moving to item A, motion to discuss, please.
I'll make a motion.
Second.
All right, Mr. Keeston, do you want to talk real quick?
Yes, I'm searching for the place right now. There was a spot where Mr. Russell mentioned the value per tax cent at $160,000, and it's reflected in the minutes as $160,000 per cent.
Oh, okay.
So I mean, you know, it's
easy fix.
It doesn't work.
And one other thing that was where I was talking about I was okay with the 37 to 37 and a half, and I think it had 37 or 35 cents.
Okay, so we'll get that on that. Was that the only thing, Mr. Keeston?
Yes, okay. I believe so.
Great. I'll entertain a motion on approving item A with that correction.
I'll make a motion.
It's been moved.
Second.
Seconded. All those in favor, please say aye.
Aye.
All opposed, please say nay. The ayes have it, and the motion carries. Thank you. Item 14D is discussion and consider action on additional appointment to the Woodway Youth Commission. May I have a motion to discuss, please?
I'll make a motion.
It's been moved and seconded. Thank you all. Nothing further on this one, just recusing myself for the vote. All right.
We're really happy to have it.
Yeah, thank you. Mayor Pro Tem gets to it.
Thank you.
We're happy to have her on the Youth Council. So I make a motion that we would consider Ms. Corzo also be part of the Youth Council.
I'll make a motion to approve.
Second.
Now,
I said I make a motion.
Oh, you got called to the vote.
John made the motion.
I made the motion. I was waiting for someone else.
You were supposed to be handling the whole thing because you're Mayor Pro Tem. He's refusing.
I see what you're saying.
Yeah.
Okay, all those in favor say aye.
Aye.
All those opposed say nay.
All right.
Sorry about that. I'm sitting there waiting for someone to say I second it.
Thank you all very much. All right. Really appreciate that. We're moving on from the consent agenda. We're now going to items related to the proposed 23-24 annual budget and proposed 23 AD valorem tax rate, ad valorem tax rate. Item 16 is discussion and consider action on acceptance of the 2023 ad valorem tax values as certified by the McLennan County Appraisal District Board of Directors. Motion to discuss, please.
I'll make a motion to discuss.
I'll second it.
Moved and seconded. Thank you all. Mr. City Manager, number 16, please.
Thank you, Mayor and Council. As you said, this is to accept and certify the certified tax rolls as prepared by McLennan County Appraisal District. I want to thank Mr. Bobbitt, who's here tonight with us, for his help, for answering all the questions during this process, and for his preparation of bringing the certified rolls to us. And the reason why you have it tonight is state law requires this annual certification. And from this is how we set the no new tax rate and the voter approval tax rate. And he is here if you have any questions about how you got these numbers or anything else. We need this to go into the next two steps. Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Manager. Mr. Bobbitt, thank you for being here. I'll invite you to the podium in case we have any questions for you. Do we have any questions for the for Mr. Bobbitt, who's here representing the appraisal board?
Good evening.
Good evening, sir. Thank you.
Do you have any questions in general about what we do or why we do it or totals?
Everything's good.
Yeah, that's what it is.
All right. Any public questions for Mr. Bobbitt? Public?
Public.
It's open.
Well, so what is your opinion on whether it ought to be 0.32, 0.33 like McLennan County? Or should we be all the way up at 0.35 or 37 or 373 or?
As far as tax rates, I don't have an opinion. My job is just to determine the value.
Yeah.
That way, hopefully, you're paying what you pay in taxes is fair compared to your neighbor. So that's my job, is trying to keep it fair amongst y'all based on what property you own. But as far as the tax rate, I mean, I have to pay it too. I don't live in Woodway, I live in McGregor. But I don't have a, I don't.
He's in charge of the valuation only.
Yeah.
Yours is an auditing of all of the different addresses, all the different properties.
We appraise, my office appraises all the properties in the county at market value per state law. So.
Does he need police protection?
Probably.
That's great.
Well, I mean, so I think it was David up here that brought up that on average, all of our properties went up 27% this year.
Oh, yeah, compared.
I believe it's 15 is what I had. That's across the city. So that includes commercial. Residential may be slightly different. But
I guess, David, you were talking residential, I guess.
One of our forms shows that.
Yeah.
What?
One of our forms shows 27%.
Right.
Okay.
And all that is based on sales, historical sales from the past year. So we have to be at 100% of market. The state comes in and audits us. And all of it, I rarely think about the cities and the county. Everything I do is really targeted towards the school districts. Because like Dr. Allen was saying, like in 2022, we went up 30% countywide, pretty much. And the state came in and said I was 7% too low in Connolly ISD. And so if that happens 3 years in a row, the schools lose state funding. And then I have to go stand in front of the superintendent and explain why I just lost them, you know, however many millions of dollars. So it's not anything I want to do. I have no intent of raising values just for fun. All it does is make more people mad at me in my office, and I get no benefit out of it. My budget doesn't go up. My salary doesn't go up.
Well, no, it isn't your fault.
Well, yes.
I mean, our property goes up.
Yes, sir.
Then, you know, the people just have to bring the tax rate down.
Yes, sir.
Because, you know, we don't need to build a hemisphere here. I'm not going to have hemisphere 68.
Yes, sir.
I understand.
Anything else?
Any questions, counsel, for Mr. Bobbitt? Public comments?
Thank you.
All right. Thank you, sir. Thank you for all you do. Appreciate it. All right. I'll entertain a motion on item 16, please.
And the motion would just be to accept the ad valorem tax value.
From the McLennan County Appraisal District.
I'll make a motion to accept the 2023 ad valorem tax value as certified by McLennan County Appraisal District Board of Directors.
I'll second.
It's moved and seconded. I'll now call for the vote. All those in favor, please say aye.
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 All opposed, please say nay. The ayes have it, and the motion carries unanimously. Thank you all. Item number 17 is a follow-up discussion on proposed annual budget and proposed ad valorem tax rate and consensus on the proposed tax rate. So at this time, Mr. Manager, do you have any comments on this, or is this just follow-up discussion?
This is, if you want to discuss it some more or carry the discussion you had at 4 o'clock further, or if you want to, we're here for you.
Thank you, sir. Well, counsel, we can continue the discussion on this on the ad valorem tax rate because the next item will be deciding on putting it in the notice for the future public hearing.
So at this point, we would not be the next item. We would be getting down to the number. This one is just whether or not.
Yeah, my hope is that we can come to a consensus now in 17, in number 17.
So we and would then, need a motion for discussion at this point to be in point of order on 17.
This is, in 17, we're just discussing.
So we don't need a
because we're not taking order. Action in 17.
Can we make a motion for a proposed tax rate?
Yes, absolutely. Okay. But hang on, not now. Not, this is just the discussion phase. We're just in the discussion phase.
So
next one
is that one.
I see.
Yeah. But what I would like to do, counsel, is really come to a consensus all together on where we want to land rather than have you give a cent and you give a different cent and then we're in this gridlock. I don't want to get in a gridlock. So
the purpose of this is an opportunity in a council meeting to further discuss issues or questions or items in the budget. You can talk about setting a tax rate here too. That's fine. But the main purpose of this is to give further discussion if you feel you didn't have enough in the previous council meeting or the previous two workshops. The next item is where you could set a tax rate, but it's only a consensus. It's not setting the official tax rate. It's what Ms. Barkley needs to move forward on public notices is what you're setting the tax rate for next time. You can change it again. This is just to make the publication public notice to have a public hearing at the next meeting on the 28th.
Okay. So what we come up with will go on the public notice, and then at the next meeting, members of the council can vote for or against that number that we agreed upon today.
Or change it.
And now we cannot increase that number, but we can decrease it. Is that correct?
We can increase it, but nobody wants to do that.
I don't think you can increase what you publish
exactly
on the tax rate. So
yeah,
a lot of communities knowingly know they're not going to hit the voters' approval tax rate. But they go somewhere as between the no new tax rate and the voters' approval tax rate just to have that cushion, to have that discussion, knowing they're going to back it down.
Okay.
But they do it only because they know they can't go up and they have a lot of unsettled issues. They may not know what health insurance is. They may not know if they're going to be able to staff people, or there may be some big holdout ticket item that they're waiting to see if it can be fixed or it has to be replaced. So to your question, that's what happens in some communities.
Okay. Would you like to hear a motion, Mr. Mayor, for this setting of the tax rate at 37 cents?
I will entertain a motion in just a moment, but I would like to see if there's any discussion right now.
Okay.
And then we'll move to that point, because there's no action on this item. So, we're just trying to reach a consensus here.
Okay. Well,
no, this is open for discussion. I will give the public. Is it not? Are you good, Donna?
No, I was just saying yes, just consensus right now.
Consensus right now. That's right. Sir, I want to get to your question in just a moment.
Okay.
Just hold that 1 second. Where are we at?
Well, are we going to make a motion then to discuss this?
No. We're just going to go into discussion. We're talking now.
All right.
And so that's what I was going to say. One thing that we talked about previously, I'm sorry, one thing that we talked about previously is the hiring of an HR manager. I want to make sure that we are able to keep, and I think the story had made that comment earlier, that we keep that in mind and that that's not something that's going to, you know, not be there because we're thinking about taking away or reducing what the...
I think the budget for that is not very large.
Yeah.
I mean, I think it was between 50 and 55 or something like that, so it's not a large issue.
Yeah, and the pay increases, I just think that we talked about this earlier, and I know Midway's facing this as well, just the talent retention is really important. I want to remain competitive. And so that COLA.
Okay. Yep.
I don't
know all in there.
If everyone read Dr. Notgrass's email about the increase in pay, I still like the idea of flipping where the city manager has 100% choice on how much he wants to give someone up to 8%. But instead of 5 COLA and 3 merit, make it 3 COLA and 5 merit. So that way, like you just said, the talent, you want to make sure they're taken care of. But it also gives him some for that bottom end that he might would like to not give as much. And it's all in his hands, not ours.
And that sounds reasonable.
Well, isn't 5% the rate, the minimum rate? I mean, if we give someone 3%, we're essentially not, we're kind of almost reducing their...
Y'all asking me what I want?
Mm-hmm.
I want 5% COLA.
Okay.
I want the merit pay to be 2 or 4%. I don't have to change the personnel policy or any other rules or regulations to keep doing what I'm doing.
Okay.
McLennan County Sheriff's Department has 3% COLA. And they're much larger than we are as far as total employees.
Plus, keep in mind, too, as our manager pointed out, we have a double-trained staff. So they're generally paid more than, say, I mean, you brought up Waco, for instance, where they're probably a single-trained staff, okay? So a 3% COLA would seem to make more sense with a 5% merit.
I want to honor the manager's wishes on this, as he is the one who's...
We went lower than a lot of communities last year on the COLA, and I think this is kind of in line with what other cities or areas are doing. I know the county gave larger, I'd have to check, but I think remembering what the county did last year, they gave a larger COLA than we gave.
Mm-hmm.
Some could call this a catch-up, some could call this a retention. I'm just telling you what I think we want at a staff level. Mm-hmm. There's 5% of the merit pay as it is.
Just so the citizen understand, the COLA is cost of living. You'll probably know that, but just in case.
I'm sure a lot of them got colas at their jobs. And
but a lot of people don't work for people. They work for themselves.
All right. Any further discussion? All right. Public comments, please. Yes, sir. If you wouldn't mind coming up to the podium with your question.
I'm asking, is it correct that...
Do you mind coming up here?
So that way you can be recorded.
Yeah.
Now that we're recording everything.
One cent is approximately $160,000.
Correct.
Is that right, Ms. Hernandez?
That was as of last year's appraised value. As of the current year appraised value, it's about $183,000.
Now I was told $183,000.
Now we're up to $183,000 you got to spend with 1 cent. Okay? So you take it the other way. You take away 3 cents. 540.
Yeah.
So $540,000 you lose if you take 3 cents out of it. So if you go from the 37 to 34 or whatever. So you're $540,000 short, but you got $1.4 million in reserve.
In addition.
But you've got in addition. No, wait a minute. So what is your reserve? We have reserve that we want.
Let's get the up-to-date number. Brenda, what do we have?
It's a little over $4 million.
$4 million. And we have an extra $1.4 million.
That's included.
That's included in there.
So 2.6 is what we like to keep as a reserve?
Sure.
Okay. So we keep 2.6 as a reserve. We have $1.4 million extra. If we take 3 cents out this year, just this year, and try and make an adjustment, we take $540,000 out. We still got $900,000 above the reserve we want. I mean, those numbers are pretty simple. And, you know, next year, we'll be doing it all again. And if something came up and we need to make a different adjustment, well, so be it. But, well, I'm in favor of I worked for the government, DOD, for many, many years on the top secret programs. And come end of November, you had to spend all the money that was left in your budget. And that's the gold toilets and everything else. I'm 26 years old at that time, and I had to spend $2 million in 30 days.
Yeah, they changed that.
Okay?
They changed
that. And budgets get built. No, there's still lots of, got to spend those budgets so you can get your new budgets. Yeah. And, you know, that's why our government is so screwed up. And why we got a $33 trillion problem? Well, hey, rein it in. You know, there's no danger here because we got a bunch of excess. If we need to change it next year, let's change it next year.
All right, thank you, sir.
Thank you.
Appreciate it. Any other comment? Yes, sir.
Make a quick comment. Norm Hoffman, Western Oaks. If we lowered it to like 32 or something, an absurd number in my view. Are we not stuck with that to some degree for any future increases in the coming years if things went bad?
Correct.
Yeah. That's what I thought. I don't know that they're understanding that.
That is correct.
Yeah.
And not to mention,
years you're stuck with that. You can only walk so much each year.
Yeah.
If you cut too much.
Well, I mean, next year you can raise it to 34, right?
Nobody is going to be okay with that. Not after going to 32. So nobody's going to go. Nobody's going to be okay with that. If we go to 32 cents, and next year we determine that we have to go up to meet our operating expenses.
Which wouldn't happen.
Well, you and I don't have a crystal ball. I don't know what the future is going to look like.
But I mean,
I can hope for the best.
$44 million over your 2.6.
Yes, sir. And I know from hearing other mayors and city men how quickly that money can be spent.
Exactly.
It just takes one bad thing happening. And I don't know about you. I have an emergency fund for my family in case bad things happen. I want the same thing for the city of Woodway. If we run out of it, it just takes one bad situation. Another pandemic, another wildfire, you know, something that will use up that entire amount. Next year, when we come to you to ask or when we open it up for public discussion, it'll be very hard to go back up to, to our normal rate.
But y'all did that for the family center.
Family center was bond.
Revenue cap.
You did that for the family center.
It was a bond. Let's talk into the mic.
Now, maybe you're not going to 32 like the county did. Maybe you're going to 33 or 34, so now you're taking $380,000 now instead of 540 or whatever. But, you know, you've got a lot of margin.
I'm very grateful for that margin. I'm very grateful.
That margin's been accumulating year after year after year for 3 or 4 years.
Yeah.
And it's been adding each year.
We're very privileged in Woodway to have that kind of margin. A lot of other municipalities can't say the same. They're actually the other way. Hang on. No, I haven't lost the meeting. We're in discussion. Have I lost the meeting with you?
Absolutely, yeah. You got my attention 100%.
Okay, I'm talking with him.
Go ahead.
So, I really love this discussion because it goes to show the importance of being good stewards, not only of the money that you pay into the city, we all pay, and having a cushion, having an emergency fund, I'm not exaggerating. It only takes one catastrophic event to deplete that. And we could go lower than 32 if we really thought about it. But man, that would leave us in such a pickle if something bad happened.
How much did we lose, or how much extra kind of expenses occurred during, say, the worst 12 months of COVID?
Great question. Actually, I think what hit us harder was Snowvid.
Yes.
That was 1 week.
Yes.
That was one brutal week.
What did that end up tallying up to?
I don't know if you have that off the top of your head.
It was electric.
You don't have that off the top of your head.
I did the number because we had additional labor costs. Mm-hmm. And then on the backside, we were hit with an additional rate tax or rate penalty. I don't know what word you would want to use from our electricity provider.
It was over $100,000 for that.
It was over $100,000. We'll just say it was over
$100,000. Okay. So that didn't really bad news when you got...
That was 1 week.
When you got $2.6 million in backup.
Yes, sir.
$100,000, I'm like, had a good year.
Well, that was one week. Anyway.
Well,
we were 1 week, and that's what it cost us.
That's true. Usually we don't have worse than 1 week.
Sir, knock on wood.
Yeah.
I don't want to, look how dry we are. Somebody throws their cigarette butt out the window.
Yep.
Anyhow, I don't want to scare anybody. I'm just telling you, I like to be a little conservative on that.
So one of the things that could be a high dollar item that, you know, I'm one of the newest people here outside of David, but a fire truck goes out and you have to replace that fire truck. If you don't have resources and capital to go buy that fire truck, you're just going to be out of a fire truck. And so if we needed a significant piece of equipment like that and you don't have the resources to buy it, then it leaves us short when it comes to having to respond to certain types of fires, correct, Chief?
Yes.
And so you never know when that's going to happen. I've experienced that. I used to run a fleet of over 5,000 pieces of equipment in the city of Indianapolis, Indiana. And it happens. You will lose a significant piece of equipment that can cost you $1 million. Where are you going to get that money from? And so the issue is not just that, because at the end of the day, you're right, there is a surplus. And the likelihood or the probability of that happening is very slim. But it can happen. And when it does happen, now you're in the pitfall. But beyond that, and this is what I was trying to say earlier, when we get that rate, and we set that rate at such a lower number, we can't just arbitrarily say, oh, we're just going to raise taxes, right? We can't just say that. No,
they did that a few years ago.
But to a certain percent. We can't go back. Yeah, to a certain percent.
It's got a ceiling.
Exactly. We can't
go 2-3 cents up.
Yeah.
Roughly.
Yeah, and so we will put that back to you all for a vote. And this is what I said earlier. How many of you are going to vote for that increase in tax?
Now, last fire truck, I think it was about $300,000, and that was about the same as our street sweeper.
$680,000.
It's about half. You take the street sweeper out, and it's about half of it.
All right.
Resorting to chocolate.
Yes. If you get a ladder truck, it's going to cost you, today it's going to cost you over $1 million. I guarantee you.
Okay. All right. Thank you all. Thank you. Great discussion. Really appreciate it. You guys are awesome. Really appreciate the feedback.
I think it's consensus, and we ask y'all to push as hard down as you can.
We got the feedback. Thank you all. I have to bring it back because I want to be sure to be respectful of the item. All right. Well, guys, we need to come to a consensus here. Here's what I'm going to propose. I'm just going to throw this out there. If we don't like it, you know, we can do something else when we do the ad valorem vote. But just for right now, I'm going to suggest we stay at the no new revenue tax rate of 37.01, and that will allow us to run our budget for next year and use surplus as needed. It'll be able for us to capture all the capital projects in the budget, and then hopefully next year we have a even better year and we're able to bring that down even further. But I think that that's the safest amount, the no revenue, and I think that that's going to ensure that we can keep everything operating and keep a good healthy reserve.
You know, with all due respect, I think we've got, a substantial surplus. We could easily look at 35 cents, easily. And that's, you know, that's not going to compromise a darn thing, not one thing. I think it's a very reasonable request to give something to the residents of this community. I really do. And I think that, sticking essentially with just the no new revenue tax rate is, with what we have on the books, is not really fair to the residents.
It's a lower rate than what we had last year. The city staff has prepared all the figures. Mm-hmm. They think that this is what we need. Mm-hmm. I trust their judgment. I think that they're gonna, and I'm happy that we're able to offer a savings to our residents from last year to this year. It's already come down.
But we went up 27% on our rate.
15.
Actually, on one of our forms, you can see here, it's 27.
Where's that from?
Is
this one? Isn't that from y'all's?
No. Yeah. I don't know where that came from.
Yeah, this one's.
That looks like it came from online somewhere.
That's an estimate of the collections when I did the first proposal budget.
Okay,
so
this is not
correct. I'll go with the number he said.
Okay.
Mr. Bobbitt said 15%. So that's where we're at.
It was before I had certified real estate.
That 15 was on top of another 30 or whatever the year before. It's going to play a rocket for 4 years.
Nobody's doubting that. Nobody's doubting that.
Dr. Avin, I'd like to know what your thoughts on this, because you're.
Well, I'm awaiting proposals from my fellow councilmen. Specifically, our mayor for pro tem.
Well, I would make a motion that we accept a 35 cent tax rate.
We're not taking motions.
Just consent.
I'm comfortable with 35. I'm comfortable with 37. Because we would give something. If we have to, the 37.01. But that's my top number.
I would. Why don't you compromise and go in the middle of 36?
Can I make a suggestion?
Yes, sir.
Maybe get everybody off center. This isn't to pass the tax rate. give staff something to work with and go in at the no new tax rate. Let me and Ms. Hernandez work the next 2 weeks pulling things that we think we can live without out of the budget and see where we come up, pulling out of reserves to balance the rest out.
Okay.
That gives you the opportunity to carve more if you choose to out of the budget and or lower the tax rate to whatever you come to consensus. Oh, well, it has to be a majority at the next meeting. But there's a lot of guessing going on from staff's part, from your part, and wishing going on. I get all that. That's the process. But we need a number, a consensus by y'all tonight, so that we can put it in there and see what we need to pull out or balance out. That's all we need tonight.
Okay.
Well said. I agree.
John, what's your number? No new tax?
No new revenue tax. I mean, that's what the law says, is that if we put that out there, we're not going to be able to go above it. But it doesn't say that we can't go below it.
And I'm comfortable with that proposal of backfilling it, what y'all prioritize out of the reserves.
We've got to be real careful.
Well, we can discuss at that time the street sweeper. That could be a big hit that could come out.
All right, let's move to item number 18, please, Donna.
Consensus.
So the no-no revenue.
Okay, with 37.3701 for this point.
We can't. It'd be great if it was 37 even.
Well,
let's give her. I would like to honor the city manager's request, and I trust that he and Mr. Hernandez will go in and will look. I've never had an experience where they didn't honor their word.
I agree.
So.
Okay. I don't know if we're going to land on a consensus here. Seems like there's a majority, but not a consensus. So let's move to 18. That's all we've got.
Yeah, I mean,
we can't vote on
it. It's just to discuss the budget.
Yeah.
And it could have included a tax rate or a proposed tax rate or a consensus. I really wanted to talk about the COLA, the insurance, the street sweeper, the other things that are questions to the staff on how to proceed forward. And I've checked off a lot of them. We'll put our heads together, but the next item is where you need to come to a consensus on a tax rate.
Okay.
Number 19?
19.
Okay.
I'm sorry, 18.
18. That's what I was saying.
That's where we're at. That's setting a date. It's a consensus on a date, not a rate.
But I'm discussion and consider action proposal to place an action item on a future amendment for the purpose of adopting a 23 ad valorem tax rate.
Correct. 18.
All right. Well,
so again, I would reiterate. Let me
open it. Actually, Donna, go back to 17, please, if you don't mind. In order for us to move forward with 18, we need to come to consensus on the tax rate. Otherwise, we don't have a number to put in the notice for the public hearing.
Mm-hmm. But we won't be voting on it, so it's just.
But city staff needs our tax rate to advertise it for the next public hearing.
That's for 18. 17 was just to try to talk about the budget again.
But Mr. Well, Manager, 18, okay. 18 is the date.
Okay.
I thought 19 is the date.
They're two different ones.
One's for the council vote, the other's for the public hearing. And those can happen on the same.
Okay.
All right, guys, so we need a consensus.
So, again, I would say if we go with the no new revenue rate, we don't have to settle in on that number. However, if we get to a point and we say, hey, you know, we vote, we may not come to a majority, okay? I mean, you know, we may. the agreement with that number is. I don't think that there is any harm in saying we go with this number because there is nothing that constrains us to force us, if you will, to take that number. We can always go down. And it just makes it cleaner to just say this is a no new revenue rate. And this is what that rate is. Because technically, when you say it's
37.01.
No, when you 37.01. When you say 37,
oh, yeah.
And leaving off the 01, we're technically not at the no new net revenue.
We're below it.
Yeah, we're below it.
Correct.
So right. If we want to clean it up and just keep it so that if we are talking about it, we said this is where we started at. We started at the no new revenue rate. And we can move down from that if we want to. And so that's what I would propose to them, so that we can have a consensus and we go from there.
I agree.
Okay with it?
I agree.
Yeah. I agree.
So no new
okay.
revenue.
We've got the
condition that y'all are using, no new revenue.
Mr. Dave, Mr. Dave, Mr. Dave, it's we're going to give you the no new revenue rate here in just a second. Ms. Hernandez, can you give the official number?
0.373701 is the no new tax rate.
Okay, so that number, does it have what you were wanting, Sean, on the increased COLA and the increased merit? They increase all these different costs?
Yes.
So it is, we're calling it new revenue. It is new revenue. It's all the new revenue that we want to spend, okay? And that makes this new number. So I'm kind of a stickler when it comes to defining things or defining revenue. It is new revenue.
No,
we're calling
no.
It new revenue.
Or not.
Not when you look at it from a actual revenue generation standpoint.
This is new revenue. It's not. You have new costs. You're putting on yourself new costs. You said, I'm going to give everybody this revenue.
No, that's those are expenditures, sir.
Right.
Those
are costs.
Let me define. Okay. Those titles are chosen by the legislator that we have to use in postings and verbatim. What the no new tax rate means is, as a total taxing entity, we're not raising a penny more than was raised last year on ad valorem taxes. Now, you as a homeowner may pay more or pay less because of how your appraisal ended up. But the tax, the money's coming to the city is the same pin to the penny that was raised by ad valorem taxes last year.
Well, no, the same rate.
The same amount of money.
Yeah.
Rate's going to change when the appraisal goes up. The rate, taxing rate's going to go down when the appraisals go up, and vice versa when appraisals go down. But the legislature says you have to set two things: the no new tax rate, which raises the exact same amount of money as property taxes raised last year, and that's the title that we're using here. At the rate of 0.373701.
Anything that's in addition to the budget is an expenditure. And so the things that we put in there, we have to find a way to pay for those additional expenditures. And what we've been talking about is using surplus to keep us there so that we don't have to raise your tax rate, okay? And we want to keep that tax rate as low as we possibly can.
So we are gonna take out of reserves to make this work.
So the 3737 times all of our new appraisals equals the exact same amount of money that the city brought in last year.
Using a tax rate of 0.41714.
Yes.
Last year.
Yes. I want to hear what you have to say.
Yeah, it came down a bunch.
It came down.
Now, can I bring two things? One, it's a little like your income tax. We're talking about this, and you know how you take off whatever on your income tax. But when it comes to your Medicare and Medicaid and your other things, you don't. It's just flat.
Yeah,
What I'm trying to say is this is only about 60% of the income from the property tax. The rest, think about all the sales tax, all the other fees that we have. There's quite a bit of other money
that comes in that's not property tax. So we're only discussing lowering the rate on that part.
Mr. Bobbitt, I'd like to move the conversation along. So do you have anything else to add?
Yes, the Noonan revenue rate is a term that the legislature defined, and it's defined in the tax code, and there's a formula that goes into it. And like they're saying, it is supposed to generate the same exact amount of revenue, excluding new value. So if a new business comes in, then that's just kind of like extra money. But otherwise, for the existing properties that existed last year and exist the coming year, the sum should be the same. It may be a little different for you. It may be a little less for your neighbor. But overall, the sum should be the same. And all those terms are defined by the legislature and the law.
Okay, so the one caveat is the new businesses that you attract is new money in your pocket.
Correct.
Yes.
Yeah. Okay.
Because that's what I'm trying to work. Negatively affect y'all.
Yeah.
That's all economic development.
Right, it's just more money that is available.
To work with.
To work with.
Correct.
Exactly.
That's why it's not a bad thing to be pro-business.
Right.
Okay. Guys, do we have a consensus?
I think you're all good with that.
We're all good?
Fine.
Good?
Yeah.
Good? Okay. No revenue tax rate. That's what we're moving with. Ms. Donna, item number 18, please. Discussion, consider action, proposal to place an action item on a future meeting agenda for the purpose of adopting a 23 ad valorem tax rate. Motion to discuss, please.
I'll make a motion.
Moved and seconded. Thank you. Mr. City Manager, anything further on 18?
I think y'all know it. I think y'all are ready.
Okay. Yeah. I'll entertain a motion on the no revenue tax rate, please.
So, the actual rate.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Zero.
Okay. Yes. So I move that we propose to place an action item on a future meeting agenda for the purpose of adopting a proposed tax rate of 0.373701 per $100 of property value.
Second.
Thank you. It's been moved and seconded. This is a record vote, so I will call each council member individually, and please state your vote either aye or nay. Gilman.
Aye.
Cook.
Aye.
Williams.
Aye.
Corzal. Aye. Avant.
Aye.
Russell.
Aye.
Keyston.
Aye.
Thank you. The ayes have it, and the motion passes unanimously by record vote. Thank you all very much. Item number 20 is our here visitors.
19. Yeah, still got to set the date. Yes.
No shortcuts. Okay. Sorry, guys. So sorry. And I want to say thank you to the visitors who'd like to speak next for waiting this whole time. I really do appreciate it. Sorry that it's taken us this long, but this is all the business we have to take care of tonight. Item number 19 is discussion and consider action on setting the date, the time, the place for the required public hearing on the proposed 23 ad valorem tax rate. Motion to discuss, please.
I'll make a motion.
Second.
Moved and seconded. Thank you. Mr. City Manager?
With your action tonight, we're asking you to publish notice in the paper for Monday, August 28th at 5:30, regular council meeting for the public hearing.
Thank you, sir. Does anybody have an issue with setting it for the next council meeting at 5:30?
No.
Great. Thank you all. If everybody's okay, I'll entertain a motion on item number 19, please.
I move that we schedule the required public hearing on the 2023 proposed tax rate for Monday, August 28th at 5:30 p.m.
I second.
We're at place.
Sorry.
I second it.
It's been moved and seconded. Thank you. I'll now call for the vote. All those in favor, please say aye.
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 All opposed, please say nay. The ayes have it, and the date, time, and place for the required public hearing has been set. Thank you all very much. Mr. Bobbitt, thank you for your time. You're welcome to stay, or you're free to go home. And
this is so much
have
fun.
Dinner.
To go home.
It's a long drive to McGregor. Item number 20 is here visitors. This is the portion of the meeting where members of the public may be heard by the council on any matter which is not listed as a separate item on the agenda. When called to speak, please state your name and address before beginning your comments. please limit your comments to 3 minutes per resolution R-87-11. The timer will be up here on your screen. Under Texas law, the council and staff are not allowed to enter into a discussion with you or among themselves during this meeting or take any action other than to provide specific factual information or recitation of existing applicable policy and or discuss whether to put the matter on a future council agenda. Thank you for your cooperation and understanding. At this time, it's now 8:01, and I'll open the Hear Visitors section at this time. Is there anybody who would like to address council? Yes, ma'am.
Yep.
If you'll please come to the podium and state your name.
Good evening.
Good evening.
My name is Millie Woods.
What?
And I've lived in Woodway for 28 years. I'm here tonight mainly to talk to you about the need for a senior citizen center.
Yes.
My inquiries have always been met with, it's in the planning stage. I am aware of the community center that is being built, and it will be much appreciated. However, that facility, like the family center and much of the arboretum, is mainly or has been designed mostly for youth. We need the elderly. We need a building that is dedicated solely for the elderly, not just the use of a single room. There are many smaller central Texas towns that have dedicated senior citizen centers. I have chosen just one as an example. Franklin, Texas has a population of less than 1,900, 264 seniors, and a household income up to 66,000. While Woodway has a population of 9,554, 2,522 seniors who are older than 65, and that is one quarter of the total population. The average household income is 138,000, but we do not have a senior citizen center. Given this comparison, there are many more, one cannot say that Woodway cannot afford a facility dedicated to seniors. When you get old, and Lord willing, you will, and you will no longer have the energy or the good health to do the exciting, fun things that you do now, you will gravitate toward other elderly people looking for fellowship and like-minded souls. We deserve such a place to fellowship with other seniors, and I trust that you will see that we get such a center very soon. Now to share some observations. When there is an election going on in Woodway, candidates romance residents, but when the ballots are counted, the honeymoon is over, and I'm not talking about just the last election. Very few of our representatives return phone calls. City manager, until very recently, I didn't even know we had a city manager. You may think residents can come to the council meetings and get to know you. That is not the way it works. I am proposing a meet and greet, preferably once a quarter, but no less than biannually. We need to know who is representing us. A big praise for the police department that is flourishing under the guidance of Chief Khalil. Lastly, Woodway is still the best place to live in Texas, made better only by a senior citizen center. Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Appreciate you.
Totally agree with that.
Anybody else to address council at this time? All right. There being no other visitors to address council, I'll close the Hear Visitors section at 8:05 p.m. Only two more items left on our agenda for this evening. First is the City Manager's Report. Mr. Manager, do you have any updates for us?
No report.
Thank you, sir. Yeah. Item number 22 is our City Council Reports. Council, do we have any reports to give?
No P and Z tomorrow.
No
P and Z.
Okay. Bless you. All right. Well, there being none, I will consider action on adjournment, please.
I'll make a motion to adjourn.
Second.
Moved and seconded. All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Aye. Adjourn at 06.